are incredible pastors from Casper, Wyoming, and they pastor an amazing church over there, and they're your leaders in the Bethel Leaders Network and travel all over the country and preaching and equipping God's church. And so I got to meet Pastor Fred in 2009. We went to Haiti together, and that was an amazing, amazing trip. And I think our whole team got a stomach bug. But it was amazing. There was lots of breakthrough healings and salvations, and it was an incredible trip. And then in 2010, Sean and I, we connected with Pastor Fred and their church, Hope Church, and we got to do a youth conference in Casper, Wyoming, with these guys. It was incredible. And so we've just been in touch over the years, and they are the real deal. You will love what they carry. And so I would just encourage you right now. They're going to be speaking at both services. So come later. Phone somebody to come later. But you're here. You're going to be blessed. And so can you give a warm welcome to Pastor Fred and Pat?
Thank you, guys. It's so good to come. You know what? When we travel all over, come on up, babe. Almost 45 years. How's that? He's older than 45. Our marriage is almost 45. How's that? Wonderful, wonderful marriage. We love it. Still excited. 45, yeah. Yeah, we just both celebrated birthdays in the last couple weeks. His was yesterday. Can you guys say happy birthday to him? Yeah. 67. Yeah, he's good 67. But I wanted to thank you guys. When we travel around, it's not every time I can get up there and say what I'm going to say here. Okay? But to walk in, and even as before we got into the building, these sweet people right here, just looking over and seeing them and connecting with them and not knowing who they were or anything, but feeling a connection with them, sensing a connection with them, coming in and meeting different ones across here. I look out and I'm thinking, my goodness, we got to meet a lot of people before we even began. And sensing that part of belonging, you guys have done a good job of creating belonging here. You know, belonging is something that is both created and given to you, but it's also created by you. And it's not okay to be just one way. Belonging has to be both ways. And as we enter into things like prayer, we enter into fasting, those aren't just disciplines of the faith. They create more strength and more belonging that is here among us. People in our world are looking not just for another place to have an event or an activity, but a place they can truly settle into and be family. Even football teams refer to themselves as family, but they're wannabes, okay? You can take any organization in the world right now, and if you follow their writings, they're using that word family. But family originated in the heart of God in heaven. It was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are family. They are our pattern, one preferring the other and honoring the other, back and forth, no competition. Each one belonging and be fully one. We are one. We are one. We're not two singles living married. We have become one. But that's because they have been one, and our marriage is in Him. So as we join together as a family, even though we're from Casper, Wyoming, I'm a Texan by birth. I'm supposed to do this, put my hand over my heart when I say that. But a Texan by birth, he's from Colorado, and yet we feel like Wyoming 20-plus years is our home there. We're church planters, but our heart and desire, all of our even when we first met, was for this season of our life. We love church planting. That's our family back there. I think you would admit that. That is our family back there. But our desire was that we would get to a point where we could travel and go around from church to church, not to build a name for ourselves, but to make Him famous for how He loves. That we would be able to say, can we come alongside you and just love and share, bring our log from our fire to your fire, okay? And we will take back from your fire something. Because we realize that as church planters, so many times, in Wyoming especially, there were not other churches close by. There were not big conferences we could go to like you have here in California. Okay, you can just look out your window and there's something happening here in California. It seems like it's not that way in Wyoming. We were pioneers. We were groundbreakers. Wyoming was one of the only states who never had revival. Okay, not true now. Right? Revival's Wyoming's on fire with revival, and it's going to continue to grow. But our heart was, Lord, we want to go and help the body of Christ be encouraged. You know, when you are looking in the same mirror all the time at yourself, all you begin to see is flaws sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes it takes other people coming and saying, can I tell you what I see? And I don't even know you very well. So could I share something with you that I saw this morning in prayer during worship? May I do that? Do I have the freedom?
Yeah.
I saw three pictures. The first picture, how many of you know where Moravian Falls is and you've ever heard of Moravian Falls? Okay, Moravian Falls history, these guys could tell you much better than I could, but Moravian Falls is a place where if you, all through the years, since people came over, the Moravians came, but I don't remember where they came from, Germany, they came, they were godly people, they fasted and they prayed. They fasted and they prayed. We're talking lots, just long periods of time. That was a way of life for them, prayer and fasting. And now then, when you go to Moravian Falls, many, many people go there, and they have, it's like the veil is lifted between here and heaven, pulled back. The veil is thin. You go there, and you can experience all kinds of things. I wouldn't, not necessarily because you go wanting to experience them, but because it's available. Okay, so we have been there one time and have had an experience, but there's a thinness of the veil there. You can reach beyond. The kingdom of God is at hand, right?
Yeah.
But we can experience it. And sometimes we get to hear things that are happening in heaven. Sometimes we get to see things that are happening in heaven. All those sorts of things. Yeah. But there are places, even you may have heard the term thin places, okay, that where people experience the move of God, the presence of God. It's not going after an experience. It's when he's present, you have experiences.
Mm-hmm.
He's everything we need. He is our comfort. He does. His name isn't just these different names. He is those.
Yes.
So when he's present, we can experience him that way. Okay, you have a thin place here. I saw a picture of Moravian Falls, and I was having an experience at the time. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on here? I've heard stories of, you know, he's shared about how people have come and said how the worship is so wonderful. And that was an understatement. It's powerfully wonderful, okay? It's not about you, and it's not about them. It's about him.
Yeah.
And he just, the angels run to this place when we gather around his name, okay? So that was number one. I saw Moravian Falls. And when I'm asking him about that, the second thing I saw was I saw the aspen tree. You guys have a lot of aspen around here, I'm assuming, right? Okay, we do in Wyoming as well. What a lot of people don't realize is that aspen, like the groves of aspen, you probably know because you're smart and you live around aspen, but that the groves all go back to one root ball, right? But the grove is only as healthy as that root ball, okay? So that's our picture in hope of family, okay? It's our picture of family, is that we're only as healthy as a body as we are healthy in this place, okay? You go out in your individual lives and you have your individual families, but he's saying this place is a place for you to come and get healthy. It's not a place to check off, I went to church this week. Okay, it's a place to come and that your whole being is yielded, another word for surrender, yielded to him.
Yeah.
I yield to you.
Yeah.
I can afford to yield to him. He's a resident genius, right?
Yeah.
I can afford to yield to him, knowing that in those times where it makes no sense to me and I don't see that thing you just said happening, I can still yield to him because I know he is not a man that he would lie because he said that. And he's not going to start and change that just for me right now. Okay? So that was the second picture. I saw this. And I saw the Lord saying, this place is that root ball that you may start the ministry. And you have in, thank you, I was just seeing if you're awake. And you can have different schools. You can have all, your business is an outpost of what he's doing here. When you get a kingdom mindset, That is as important as what's happening here when it grows out of what God is doing here. I don't mean a person doing. I mean what God is doing in this place. So that this becomes the root ball, are you following me, for what God is planting and growing all over this region. You can change a region by one big move, or you can change a region by a move here and the fire, to use my mix my metaphors here, the flames go out there and the fire spreads 2 miles, right? The embers can travel 2 miles. Well, goodness, that's man-made fire. Imagine what God fire can do. But this is the root ball here. Okay, that's the second part. But then I saw a third picture. And the third picture, and we are in California. I love to go through the vineyards. But I moved by the fact of those old, old vines, those stalks that are like this big around. You say, honey, they ain't nothing. You haven't seen the real vineyards yet. I don't know. But I've seen some that are like, this just amazes me. Those old, old, if you will, Moravian fall age vineyards. God has done something here through the years. He's done something here through the years that has caused this for the whole thing to become a vineyard. You know how those vineyards that can go that route from this one right here? I love to find the oldest one in a vineyard. Okay? You can see how far out its kids go, right? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. I love seeing that. I love seeing that. And I heard this statement, and I'm going to tell you, I know the voice of the Lord. I accepted the Lord when I was 4.5 years old. I knew what I was doing. I know his voice. My heart is to always yield to his voice. That's always a process, right? But I sensed him saying this morning, tell them, tend the root. Tend the root. There's a verse that says, guard your heart, because from it flow the well springs of life. When you live in the pure waters, it's real easy to start taking the pure water for granted, and you let it gradually get contaminated. When you've lived in a thin place for a long time, and it's all you've known, it's really easy to just taking that for granted. And what was given to you as part of belonging as a gift from those who sowed in this place at the birthing of this place wasn't yours to just go and enjoy the fruit that grows on it. But you became keepers of the root. You became keepers of the root. You are entrusted with the root. If you don't know what that root is, it's the years of prayer. It's the years of intercession, crying out to God. I know maybe you pray a lot of times and it's just praying a sentence and it's a prayer and here it is and it sounds like everything else you ask, even when you're talking to your husband or whatever, monotonous. But you know what? When your child is sick, you cry out. When your heart is breaking, you find the emotion of that. When you are in love, oh my goodness, the love letters we wrote to each other, we still do. But those, that was a different level, different kind. You find the emotion of it. I believe that God gave us our 5 senses. Okay? He gave them to us for this world so we could navigate this world. But this is so not the real world. That our 5 senses are meant to engage us with his world. Okay? It is. Our smell in this place. So you're looking at me and I'm probably freaking you out already. I hope not. Because you are in a place where it is ripe for you to use your 5 senses. That when you go home and you're in situations out there or you're driving in your car. I had an experience this morning in the lodge. Could I tell you this one? I was sitting on the couch and he's sitting over there going over some things and reading and I go to sit down and I just close my eyes and I began to connect with the Lord. I say lean my heart into him. What does that mean for me? That means I just begin to think about him, but bring him from here to here. I might start talking to him about, God, thank you for this. But then I want my 5 senses to experience what this is. So if it's God, thank you for the healing you brought to my husband on this trip. I get into that thing of when we were praying for his healing so he could be here this morning. And my emotions begin to feel that. When I go and allow him to pull the thoughts into the experience, I'm sitting there that way, just talking to him. Suddenly, I may remove all doubt. I don't believe this is a place this will remove all doubt that I'm crazy. But all at once, I realized Jesus was sitting on the couch beside me. And his arm was draped around me, just like he would do. And when I saw that, and here's my husband sitting on the love seat right there, at first I'm like, you know, just kind of, and then I realized, oh, my husband is not jealous of this. He knows my relationship with God makes me an even better wife. He knows it causes my passion for him to be more alive because I have this alive with God. Okay, Jesus is sitting there with his arm around me, and I went, oh. My, in this, what I call him, my primary husband is here. Yes. He knows he's not my primary husband. He knows he's not. He knows he's only my husband to the level that he doesn't conflict with my primary husband. But his arm is around me, and he pulls me close. And when I said that to him, oh, my primary husband's here, like that. He looked over to me, reached over and kissed my forehead right there. I don't have those experiences every time I sit down on a couch. Okay? But I do live from them every time I have them. And they draw me into this. I can read his word. When I have times like that, I then sit down and I read his word. And I don't read words. I hear his voice saying those words. That's not a discipline like I have to. Any more than I have to pick up my husband's socks sometimes, or I have to do this. No, that's the killer of love. It's the killer of intimacy. Okay? Didn't know he was going to have me share this with you. He's preaching. But I want you to realize, okay, value what you have. Gratitude is an expression of value. Never... When you want to just skip this experience here, kind of be like, you know, when you don't want to eat your kid doesn't want to eat their food at dinner and you say, hey, there's kids all over the world, wish they could eat this, you know. There are people all over the world wish they could be experiencing this. And it's not about guilt. It's not about pressure. It's about invitation. Okay? The invitation is, you are looking, every person on the face of the earth wants a good life. Nobody woke up and thought, I want to have a horrible day today. Okay? You want to have a wonderful life. It comes from staying in tuned and synced with him. This is a wonderful sinking place. Never call it or never think of it as, I'm just going to church. This is a place for your heart to sink with God's heart. I didn't expect to be on my face in a crowd I don't know this morning, but he has my surrender. He has my yield. And he's more important than you. Okay? Yes. I've already said yes to him before I said yes to coming here. Yes. So you are free in this place. It's safe in this place. Okay? Likewise, never underestimate the importance that you bring to caring for the root ball. Okay? You have your individual walk with God, but we were created for community. Science shows this. Science tells us our brains, the hardware of it, and the software rely on that being healthy in relationships. You need a place you can come where you know you belong and people love you and that it's a safe place. But you not only are gifted that as belonging, you help create it. When you come in this place, give to other people what you yourself have received. Don't wait for people to come to you. Okay? Go to them. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't keep your little tally marks of how many times people called you first. Is it more important that somebody called you or that you got to connect? Okay? Keep track. Keep going on that part. I can never outgive what God's given me. And the more I give, the more I receive. Yeah. Actually, it doesn't mean he pays me for what I give. It means that I'm open to more. I can avail myself to more. Okay? The other part is that third part, this vine. You are intended to send out revival, experience with God. You are this place, all over this gorgeous place. You've got people coming from all over the world like we do in Wyoming. You can be missionaries from here. You can be missionaries from here. But tend the vine, first of all in you, but secondly in this place that he gathers you together in his name. Don't neglect the assembling together of yourselves, as many are in the habit of doing. Okay? Tend the vine. You don't just tend it by attending. You tend it by being mindful, praying for them, connecting in the things that connect back here, just like those vines do in the vineyard back to the mother vine. Okay? Can you guys receive that word from the Lord?
Yes.
Okay. Bless you guys very much. Could I just release a prayer over you very quickly? Would you, if you were ready to receive it, would you stand up and just receive whatever posture you get in for that? If you want to receive sitting down, it's okay. There's something I find that faith activated makes a difference. And sometimes it's the little things of just standing up is an activation of faith. So this is what I'm going to be praying, because I don't want you just blindly going through this. I appreciate that confidence, but it helps. You can partner with it. I am going to be praying that God will now then exponentially multiply and grow like spring, the newness of the root that comes from the root. Okay? Would you join me in that? Okay. Father, in your name, I know that I did not bring these visions to myself. I know that I had no need to stand up here and share this, but you wanted them to know how you see them. You want them to know and value that they are an incredibly valuable part in this region. They are valuable, Lord, not because of just their skills that they've learned. That's all their gift they bring and give back to you. But Lord, it's valuable because they are people who have something inside them, like a tractor beam that draws them to this place that they receive from here. And what they receive, that they would now give gratitude to you that blesses it, but that exponentially grows it, and they give it right back to you. And they give you permission that they will not hoard it. They will not hoard this, but they will literally go and live it out there. That when they leave this place, they realize that those tentacles of that vine go with them. That you go with them wherever they go. And that in that place, roots can drop. Roots can drop to the ground and new life can come to this region. Lord, I ask for the brightness of the light to go further than it's ever gone before. Lord, that this would become a place that when people gather in here, that they would come in maybe even sick or hurt, wounded, needing healing in their brains, whatever it might be, their relationships. But when they go out, the light goes with them. The light goes with them, and they go out, and people around here realize there's something different. When people go in that place, they come out different. When they come out of that place, they come out with something different, and it's you, Lord. Never let us be backed into a corner to refuse to speak your name and to sing your glory. Lord, to tell the miracles you've done in our lives. God, we've had hits on our lives. We've had our cars firebombed. We've had all kinds of things. But I stand here today and I say, oh, the goodness of God. Lord, you brought us not just through those things. You have prospered us through them. And you've caused the kingdom to be expanded even as we walked through it. And I pray that over each person, whatever they're going through right now in the name of Jesus, that hope arises. I call up hope, the person of hope of Jesus in each person right now. Whatever level of hope, whatever level of faith you've had, may it be increased right now in Jesus' name. May you choose to believe that he is as good as he said and beyond your wildest imaginations. May you choose to believe that you are to him who he says that you are to him. That he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. He says it. He says it, and he is not a man that he would lie. Would you simply say, I believe? Come on, I believe, Lord. I believe. I believe you are who you said you are. I believe I am to you who you say I am. I believe that you love me as much as you love Jesus. even when my circumstances may not see it and show it. I believe. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Give you your water back there. That was a good word. I love that. God is good, isn't He? You know, we've been around a while now, been around, in Wyoming we have a lot of rodeos, so we've been to a few rodeos in our day, and so we don't feel like we want to come somewhere and share and have in our minds that we want to preach the best sermon anybody's ever heard. You know, that's not our objective. Our objective is to come here and love on people. And it's my belief that I don't want to just exchange information with you. I want to see a transformation take place. And I just want to, Pastor, thank you for the invitation to be here. We love you. We've been wanting to get here with you guys for a long time. It's finally happened, and so we're excited about being here. Thank you for an amazing place to stay, too. So we're enjoying that. So we don't want to come here and it be about us. You know, sometimes the negative of being a famous person is people are coming to hear the famous person. I hope that what you will leave is with the presence of God. You know, do you know what the best thing about God is? That He's God. You know, He's God. That's the best thing about Him. And we tend to want to, you know, have this or this little thing. It's who He is, and He is here. I sensed His presence as we drove up. We drove past Casey, and, we had the thought, He's going to be at church. And He had the same thought about us. Hey, I'm going to see them at church. So, I mean, we're already having church. We don't, as they say, we don't come to church. We are the church. And when we go out, we make a difference. It's my belief that God is going to stir and has been stirring, but that's going to even go to another level in 2022. And that is the ability for the individual believer that is on fire for Jesus to help change the world. Yes. That if you're not careful in America, what happens is we think we need to have some big event happen and then something good can happen. But I want to tell you the best things often happen one-on-one. That you are a dangerous weapon to the enemy. Amen. You are dangerous. You are packing. You are loaded. And where you go, you carry the ability to change what is going on there for the good. Yes. I want to share one of my favorite passages of Scripture out of Luke 13. My favorite book of the Bible is John, but we'll have to come back again if we're going to read out of John. How's that, okay? But Luke 13, 10 through 17, a very, really interesting story. I don't know if you've noticed that in the book of Luke, that Luke, if he has a story about a man having something happen in his life, then the next one is about a woman having something happen. Read it. Check it out. See if you see it there. So it's interesting. So Luke 13, begin verse 10, it says this. One Sabbath day, while Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, He encountered a seriously handicapped woman. She was crippled. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. She was crippled and had been doubled over for 18 years. Her condition was caused by a demonic spirit of bondage that had left her unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her condition, He called her over and gently laid his hands on her. Then he said, "Dear woman, you are free. I release you forever from this crippling spirit." Instantly, she stood straight and tall and overflowed with glorious praise to God. Get your booer ready. The Jewish leader of the synagogue, who was in charge of the synagogue, was infuriated over Jesus' healing on the Sabbath day. 6 days you are to work. He shouted angrily to the crowd, "Those are the days you should come here for healing, but not on the seventh day." Boo. The Lord said, "You hopeless frauds." I mean, let's kind of cut to the chase, as they say. "You hopeless frauds. Don't you care for your animals on the Sabbath day and tying your ox or donkey from the stall and leading it away to water? If you do this for your animals, what's wrong with allowing this beloved daughter of Abraham, who has been bound by Satan for 18 long years, to be untied and set free on the Sabbath?" Someone say, "Set free." Come on, set free. We are about setting people free. And I don't just mean in this room, but everywhere we go. When you've experienced freedom, you can help show other people how to find freedom. I love that. When they heard this, his critics were completely humiliated, but the crowd shouted with joy over the glorious things Jesus was doing among them. I love that passage of Scripture. I love it. And so here I want to share just a simple message with you. And I would entitle this message, "Jesus Sees You." Jesus sees you. That as this passage was going, it says that as people were entering the synagogue, it says Jesus noticed her. He saw her. So I want to tell you, whether you like this thought or not, Jesus sees you this morning. You are not oblivious to him. You are not invisible to him. He sees you. And he doesn't just see something about you. He sees who you are. He sees who he created you to be. He sees the destiny that you received before the foundation of the world. He sees you from that place. But I want to tell you, before I get very far, is not only does he see you, but he can give you the ability to see others like he sees them. Did you hear me? Yeah. He can work in you to see others the same way he sees. You see, the point of this scripture really takes to what Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father doing." So that's what this was about. The Father saw this woman. Therefore, Jesus sees this woman. Therefore, you and I can see this woman. And so every day we have that opportunity to do that. That is not a burden, friends. Sometimes we get burdened down by responsibility. I want to tell you, we have freedom to obey. We have freedom to surrender. We have freedom to step out and do something. And sometimes when I step out, I don't get it right either. But here's the... So I want to share four things with you. He sees her. He calls her to himself. He lays hands on her. And he releases freedom to her. We have the privilege of doing that all the time. We receive it. One of the phrases that we enjoy a lot is, if you receive enough, you become what you receive. If you receive enough, you become what you've received. And when you've become it, you can release it. And so it's our belief that we don't just release love every once in a while. We release it because we have become His love. In fact, the Scripture says that Christ lives in us. That we are the hope of glory, Christ in us. That we aren't just mere humans, Paul said, but we are more than that because we have the King of Kings living on the inside of us and touching people everywhere we go. Let me give you an example of this. Here's an example of Pat and I seeing someone. There was a couple, Jim and Tara, meth addicts for 21 years. They did it all. They lived it all. All of the stories that you've heard, they lived all of those stories. And I believe it was in 2005. I like that 2005 because the number 5 is the number of grace. That Tara's sister attended a church that we had started in 2002 called Hope Church to bring hope to Casper. Come on, we need hope, right?
Yes.
And so we knew Jim and Tara a little bit because of the sister-in-law and sister. And so we saw them, and when we would see them, we would begin to see them as who they could be, and we were actually drawn to them, but they were afraid of us, and often if they saw us coming, they would go the other way. Well, they both got saved. And now they want to see us. And I want to tell you, especially Pat, had a number of nights till like 2 a.m. speaking into them, inner healing, deliverance going on. I want to tell you now, these 16 years later, Jim is a school teacher.
Never should have happened.
Yeah, he should never have been allowed to be a teacher. But by the grace of God, and he is the favorite teacher in Midwest Wyoming. I mean, he is loved. He's the shop teacher. All of the kids with problems come to him and talk to him, and they are overwhelmed by the wisdom that he shares. Do you see? Jesus saw this woman. He didn't see, hey, there's that cripple lady. And she wasn't by bent over. We don't mean like this. We mean, you know, she was bent over. And the thing is not everybody is bent over physically. It isn't just that there's a physical issue, but there are emotional issues that cause us to be bent over. There are emotional, mental issues, relational issues that we're walking around handicapped and ill-equipped to do the things that we need to do. But Jesus didn't say, hey, there's the handicapped woman over there. He called her a daughter of Abraham. He didn't see her as, hey, we need to be sorry for her, or we need to notice her because of how she looks. What he saw was a daughter of Abraham. Shouldn't she be loosed? I want to tell you, Jesus sees you. So I know that we may not have a lot of time, but I've got to this guy, Jim and Tara, that I was talking about. So Pat got this text from him this last week. On the way here, it says, so I've been out for a while with pneumonia. My new buddy is an oxygen tank. Today was my first day back. I'm still rough on the edges, but wanted to give it a go. I wanted to share something with you. So when I get there this morning, I'm handed this large yellow envelope. I was told to read later. I went back into my classroom and opened it up and read a couple items and started crying. So I figured I better stop. Inside was a homemade get well card from what I believe is our entire high school class. Each student did their own card. I've shared with you in the past that when, okay, I'm trying to find out, I had to do two pictures of it, that when, what? Each student did their own card. I've shared with you in the past that when I became a teacher, all I wanted to do was help one student. If I did so, I did what I set forth to do. I'm having a hard time texting you right now because I can't stop crying, but I am a blessed man. I am so happy that I have you and Fred in my life, even if it's at a distance right now. You guys have instilled things in me that words can't explain. God can, though. I love you both. And by the way, it's really hard to read that many cards. Read one or two, cry. Read one or two and cry. Laugh out loud. I want to tell you, that woman that Jesus saw was never the same again. Jesus is into radical encounters that transform people's life. Like the blind man says, well, all I know is that yesterday I was blind and today I see. And I want to tell you, seeing isn't just, hey, I can see the clock up there to see how much time I have left. It's seeing people. It's seeing the way he sees. It's not just seeing and acknowledging there's an object there. You want to change this community? Begin to see people the way Jesus sees them. See them the way Jesus heals them. I want to tell you the story of Jim and Tara so radically shifts you because you see how powerful the love of Jesus is, because the important thing was that Jesus saw Jim. Not that we saw him, but I want to tell you, because Jesus can see them, he wants us to see them. He wants to transform lives. He is into radical encounters. He wants to use you, that you are that one in his hands. Every one of us here, we're that one in his hands, that we can go in somewhere and we can touch everybody there. It literally happens all the time. If you will submit yourself and surrender yourself to say, hey, I want to see the way you see. So this is a prayer. How do we begin to do this? I encourage you to pray this prayer. First, Father, how do you see me? If you don't see yourself the way he sees you, you're not going to be able to see others the way he sees them. Pray this prayer every day. Father, let me see me the way you see me. Let me feel about me the way you feel about me. Let me believe and speak about me the way you do. Then I can begin to pray, Father, help me to see everyone I will see today the way you see them. Starting with my wife and my kids and my whoever are closest to me. And then when I go to work, when I'm in a store, whatever it may be. We have had so many encounters in store. So here's the second thing that happened. Jesus called her to himself. In other words, he got her attention. I'm almost believing that a lot of the time in 1 Corinthians 12 that a lot of the spiritual gifts are actually about waking up someone and getting their attention. And I have found that the prophetic and words of knowledge that often they're used to say, hey, did you know that there is a God that cares about you? Yes, there are people that are atheists. Yes, there are people that want nothing to do with God, that want nothing to do with Christians, and on and on and on. But most of them are just oblivious to the fact that he is aware of them and sees them. Yes. And he wants to help, he wants to use us to get their attention. I had another thing happen a couple weeks ago. And I may read this text. Facebook page, but a couple years ago, I'm in a coffee shop. And I'm finishing up a conversation with someone, and I notice someone in the coffee shop that I've never seen before. And that I can tell they're a student and they're studying. And the Holy Spirit says, that young woman is a medical student, and I want you to go over there and talk to her. She had no idea that Jesus could see her. Are you with me? Jesus had no idea. I mean, Jesus had all idea. I mean, she had no idea. And I go over there and I say, this may sound a little bit strange, but are you a medical student? And so I'm actually going to read what she posted on Facebook. This is someone who has not come into relationship with Jesus, but she had a radical encounter with Jesus, and she will get saved, I believe, by faith. And she says this, she says, a time hop notification. Let me know that I have been friends with Fred Bruner for 2 years as of today. I mean, we hardly ever communicate, but this popped up. The day I met Fred, I was extremely stressed studying for my final exam on my first semester of respiratory therapy school. I was sitting at Starbucks with a pile of books and my laptop open to try to cram every bit of information for my exam. I was feeling extremely uneasy and defeated because I needed to do very well on this test in order to stay in the program. Fred approached my table, introduced himself, and said something along the lines of, God told me you are a medical student, and I'm wondering if I have your permission to pray for you. Fred and I prayed in Starbucks, and he went on his way. Here I am now, 2 years later, a registered respiratory therapist. What Fred did only took 2 minutes out of his day, and it's something I will always remember and be thankful for. A little bit of kindness and faith was exactly what I needed. Wow. That's who you are. We don't just have the knowledge of His love for us. We've become His love. You see, the more you begin to love Jesus, the more you love people. You don't hate people the more you love Jesus. You love people more. In fact, James says that if you say you love God and you hate people, you're a liar. Because Jesus is in love with every person that you will see today. Did you know that? Jesus is in love with every person that you will see today. Even that person that is a pain in the butt to you. He loves them, and He loves you. The third thing that happened is He touched this woman. I want to tell you that Jesus showed His love. You know, our world is in need of some healthy touch. Sometimes I say the best thing about me is that I hug people. You know, what's your main calling and gifting? My main calling and gifting is to hug everybody I possibly can. And people say, well, that's not any big deal. I think it's a big deal. You know, Jesus touched her. And I love it. I don't know how you guys feel about the Chosen series. But you know that leper, like, you know, in the first season, and the disciples are freaking out. He's going to touch the leper. Oh, no, we're going to touch him, you know. And, you know, it's like they're going to pass out. And He touches him. Do you know what that showed? It showed value. Yes. He values every person. If you don't value people, you can't love them. You can't honor them. You can't see them the way He sees them. You don't need to pray, help me to see them the way you see them. Because unless you value people, you won't see them the way He sees them. And He valued that leper. He wasn't afraid of him. I want to tell you, that just as Jim, that now is a teacher, after 21 years of meth addiction, if you will, is touching a village and bringing them to the Lord. Season 1, number 8, he's at a well. And there's a woman there who'd been married 5 times and is living with another man. Something's mixed up when that happens. She said, I think you made a mistake. Opening up to me and telling me who you are, that you're the Messiah. I think you made a mistake. Don't you know who I am? And he said, the only reason I came was because of you. The only reason I came was because of you. She not only was touched radically, but a whole village was touched. Do you see that? That you're going to touch people that will touch maybe many more people than you will ever touch. But because you touched that one person, that you took a few minutes sometimes to give someone a word and to share with them and love on them, only takes a few minutes. It says that Jesus touched her. One touch from Jesus changed my life. Actually, 57 years ago this June, I got saved in the Sierra Nevadas of California. My family and I lived in Santa Cruz at the time, and I've never been the same. I felt like when I heard the gospel, I felt like I don't even know how I got down to the front. All I knew is all of a sudden I'm down at the front, you know? And I felt like if I didn't get a hold of Jesus, I would die on the spot. There are people still that hungry for Him. It says, then the last thing that happened is He declared over her. He said, woman, I set you free. This isn't just about you get better at work or you, it's not just about self-help, that's the word I'm looking for. You know, self-help, we want to get to be better people. This is about being a whole new person. If anyone is in Christ, he isn't just a better person. He is a whole new person. The only new has come. I'm not someone that just got a new paint job. I'm not just someone that lost some weight or lost their hair. I used to have long hair. It's not just a change here and there. It is that your new DNA. Your DNA is new. That you were created for this. We're not trying to get people to be who they are. And I want you to be who you are. You receive enough, you become what you receive. And then you release who you are. We teach what we know. But there's something greater than that, isn't there? Yeah, we reproduce who we are. We teach what we know. We reproduce what we are. And He declared over, woman, I set you free. And she stood up. I want to tell you there are people that need to stand up straight because they're set free, and it's not because they're physically bent over, but they're bent over spiritually or emotionally or relationally, and trauma has beaten you down. And it's time to allow Him to set you free from that trauma and from that past, because you have a new DNA when you're in Christ Jesus. I felt like the Lord was saying as I shared this morning that there would be people that would want to know in a very deep way that Jesus sees me and that he receives me. And he wants to touch even the deepest parts of me, from physical to spiritual to emotional to whatever it may be. And that he simply wants to let you know that not only does he see you, but he is calling your name and he is touching you and he is declaring over you your destiny. That you are not an accident. You're not just waiting till you die, but that you've been created to do good works since the foundation of the world. And those good works encourage others and stir something in you that cause you to never be the same again. Sometimes we wonder, does anybody really ever see me for who I really am? This morning, he sees who you really are. If anybody would like prayer, I would love for you to stand up because I'd like to release deep inside of you the understanding that Jesus sees you right now. And he's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of what you're going through. He's not afraid of who you think you aren't right now, because he knows who you really are. If you would like prayer, would you stand up right now? Brother, I wanted to tell you that when you were playing drums this morning, I felt like he was saying that I'm giving him my heartbeat. That you have my heartbeat, that you carry my heartbeat, and you're going to carry it all over this community. It's almost going to be like that when you step in the room, that people are going to start hearing the beat. And it's going to be the beat of his heart because you carry it. I bless you.
Specifically, and this takes courage to do this, but part of belonging is creating a place of vulnerability and transparency, okay, where we can partner with God. Is there anyone particular that your specific need when he was speaking just now that you identify with that part of feeling like I go into groups, I go in and out of work, and I never feel like anybody truly sees me? Would you stand, raise your hand, something, if that's you? Because that is a place where the enemy attacks so many people. Anyone. I know God is working. I know it's true here today. And this would be the first place, and I don't believe it is the first. Okay. Anybody else that you feel like there? When I go in and out of life, I don't feel like people truly see me. Might even feel like I just can be anywhere, but I never feel quite like I belong. Anybody? Okay, so I want you to know God knows you. And I was sitting over there, right, he's supposed to close, and God gave me that specifically. He said, there's someone here today. And so I'm going to ask you, if you are a believer and you are willing to do this, you see someone standing, would you go over? Don't start praying. Just lay hands on people. Let them know you're with them this morning as we pray. Would you do that? Just kind of spread out over people. Okay. 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 Let's pray. Do this quickly. Okay. You know, it's one thing to stand up and I need prayer, but did you know that can feel very naked, make you feel very naked when you do that? So when you see somebody stand up and they want prayer, would you please cover them with your presence? You be God's hand touching them this morning. God's words on your lips, hear this. God's words on your lips are just as powerful as God's words passing his own lips. Okay? Remember that. Don't stand like you're a stranger. Ask them, May I put my hand on you? And then we're just going to release to them. Fred, would you mind going and standing with him, please? And I'll bring the mic back to you in just a second. Father, right now, I thank you for people that were willing to be courageous. Lord, that when they have a need, they won't shrink back. That they will be like the woman who said, I just had to run and touch the hem of his garment. Lord, right now, all across this room, no matter what the situation is, that you are touching it. But Lord, I pray for those right now who can feel like that they walk in and out and they never quite belong and they're never fully seen, that they're not received. Lord, that somewhere in life there is that sense of I wasn't really received for who I am. Lord, that I wasn't fully received for what you breathed into me. And instead I ask that you would bring peace and that knowledge that they were the ones that you were identifying this morning because you see them and that you want to be that authority in their life, that, Lord, that if no one else ever acknowledges them, that you have. Jesus, this morning you acknowledge them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Father, thank you for the knowledge that you see us this morning. Father, I pray they'll move beyond just in our head, but that we'll have an encounter with you this morning. That your love is what changes life and changes the world. So, Father, we've seen a lot of things try to come and go, but your love is the constant. And so thank you. And we just welcome your love. We welcome your presence. That you're moving into every person here. You're revealing to them that they actually carry the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they are able to speak into other people's lives and see Jesus come alive in them. But Father, I start by saying that people here, that they would know, as Pat was already saying, that you see them. That whether other people understand how to receive them or not, you are receiving them right now. That they receive, that they belong right now. They belong in the family of God. They belong in your house. They belong as your son or daughter. The best thing about every person in this room is they're either a son or a daughter of the Most High God. That it's not what they're able to do, but it's who they are. And that it begins with the understanding and the belief that they are your son and your daughter, and from that everything else happens. So Father, I release your Father's love just to touch every person in this room, that they would be overwhelmed and in awe of your love right now, that it would shift who they are, that it would change who they are, just like it did for me, just like it did for Pat and so many others in this room. Thank you that you're shifting who we are because of your love for us. Thank you that you receive us, that you're not asking us to get cleaned up before you come, that you come as you are, and he'll love you from that place. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. We receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have deposited in this room and in our hearts today. And we just say yes. We say yes to all that you're doing and to all that you're stirring in this room and in our spirits right now. We say yes to the movings of God. We say yes to the leadings of God. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just, for me, some of the best ways to seal things in the Spirit is to just give them a fresh yes, to give them a fresh I love you, to give them a fresh praise, a fresh song. And so just put your hands up and let's just sing to Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for this day. Thank you, God. Seal the word in our spirits. Seal the word in our hearts, God. Let it bear fruit. Ha. Yes, God. Ho-ho.
have your way, oh God, in everything, Lord, in everything, Lord. Your way is perfect, your way is pleasing, God, in everything. Here I am, Lord, here I am, Lord, I am yours. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you, oh. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart, yeah. I worship you, I worship you, oh. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you, Lord. You are here, every heart, God, I worship you, I worship you, Lord. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are, 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 that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Forevermore, closer than a brother. Closer than a brother in the midst of the storm. Faithful God, faithful friend, that is who you are, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you shall do. We're going to close, but I just feel... I know there was just some good ministry going on, but I have a sense there might be one or two or a couple people that are in this room, and you just need some, you just feel like you just need to be called out, as he was talking about, and you need to be called forward and given some room to come, and maybe you just need some extra additional ministry and some prayer from this amazing couple right here. And so I just want to give opportunity for that. If there's anybody that just needs some hands laid upon them, and and just a push in the Spirit in the right direction. And so, Father, we thank you for this day. We bless every person in this room. We just thank you, God, and we love you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Awesome.
If there's anybody that you know that needs physical healing tonight, we want to go after that at the end of the service. We'll pray over anybody that wants to be prayed over, but we want to go after physical healing.
Awesome. 4 o'clock this afternoon. Come, be there. If you need any prayer right now, they're going to hang around for a little bit, and we'll just keep strumming, playing music for a minute. But God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Pastor Fred, Pastor Pat. Amazing. God bless you. Were you blessed today? All right. Go and be blessed and see people the way the Father sees them. Amen. Amen. God bless.
Caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. Caught up in this holy moment. I never want.